in Romans. In case with you, I don't think it's going to be. In Romans 8:28, the famous passage, go back one. Famous passage that our moderator just read is a popular and favorite passage for so many Christians, isn't there? For the right reason. It is because there is a promise that even though we might go through a dark valley, that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. Those who love Him is also those who are called according to His purpose. True believers. So not two different people. But for those of us who belong to Christ, we could claim this enormous miracle promise of God. God's providential goodness is there. But the question is, what is the good promised in God's providence? Oftentimes we mistakenly think of happy ending of our own projected definition of what good is. Very short period of time, oh, I didn't get this job and God actually gave me this better job. Oh, I didn't marry this beautiful girl, but there's another woman who is far better than this woman or guy. And actually, we get disappointed because of those misleading expectations. Verse 28 is not supposed to be taken out of that context. Verse 29 gives us clear reason and definition of goodness. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. See, God's providence or goodness is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, claiming to become more like Jesus, our Lord, in our character. You see, all this is in God's sovereign plan and purpose, so that we become one of the brothers and sisters in God's family, Jesus being the firstborn of many. And for this goodness, God causes all things, yes, including our 17 years of journey as Crossway family, coming to an end. I saw already tears in the back. People were standing. A few weeks ago, during our congregation meeting, our young people showed tears. But we have hope. This is not a make-believe. God's providential is absolute certainty for us. Give a picture. Verse 29 and 30 gives us the bigger picture of what the big deal about the goodness is. God's covenant goodness is there. God's ultimate purpose for us. Reading verse 29 again, look at the words that I boldface. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. In other words, the providential goodness is carried by sovereign plans for us. This is God's unbreakable golden chain. You cannot take one thing, I have this, but I don't have the other one. From the beginning, the first thing that God for you, each one of you who belong to Christ, is for you. The deeper meaning is that for now, and of you, Eve, infinitely, God foreknown each one of you and predestined and called, and those who called, He justified once for all. Your sins and guilt are washed away by the blood of Jesus. In the meantime, we might struggle because of our sin nature. The power of sin is there. But at the end of the consummation of salvation, we will be glorified. In other words, we will no longer struggle with sin. That's what it means to become Christ-like in our character. In the short run, we want Jesus' Disney happy ending. But if you pull out the big picture, in spite of the fact that we do not understand what we are going through, even though the very fact that I'm trying to explain to my friends about why our church is ending, our custodian today, what happened? You guys have been so happy here. What happened? I couldn't understand. It's a long story. But I only think that I utter this. There's God's providence of goodness. By trusting God's providence, we can be more confident in uncertainty, patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, joyful in all circumstances. I end with this quote from Charles Spurgeon. Let me go back, please. Spurgeon writes, "Providence is wonderfully intricate. Ah, you want always to see through providence. Do you not? You never will, I assure you. You have not eyes good enough. You want to see what got good that affliction was to you. You must believe it. You want to see how it can bring good to the soul. You may be enabled in a little time, but you cannot see it now. You must believe it. Honor God by trusting Him." Brothers and sisters, this is our reason for today's celebration. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your sovereignty that is wise and purposeful in your providence for us. Help us not to see the things around us, things that are visible. Help us see the things that are invisible, eternal. And maybe sometime in the future, when we look back, we will realize your wisdom and your purpose, that we have become more like Christ because of this. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Do a couple of things before I give the pastoral charge. I want to say it's been truly a privilege for me to be a pastor. So thank you. But I could not have done it. All the stories are really true. And fond memories of God's miracles we experienced there. But well, I have to recognize all the leadership team members and their wives over the years who served and sacrificed so much. And I'm not going to embarrass you. We just want to thank you before God. Would you stand? Any current and former leadership team members who have served, would you stand with your wives? Please. so thank you for being here. All the staff, wife, don't have to stand this time. All the staff we have ever served on the Crossway, would you stand? Thank you. My special charge is very simple. 2 things. Number one, fight the spiritual battle of cynicism, disillusionment. I'm speaking to my own soul that we have the baggages that we carry, this the pain that, in a way, in those past 2 years, been very difficult times. But my prayer for you and me is keep our heart pure and passionate to be used by God. Go to church. Don't stop doing this cynical things, staying home and doing other things. This is your pastor encouraging for the last time. Do not be cynical against the church, against all the leadership, spiritual leadership. Whenever you go, some church, the Bible-giving church, God-centered church, serve with your own heart. Secondly, let's keep choosing the way of the cross as our way. You know what that means? Dying to self, humble ourselves, asking for forgiveness, go for reconciliation. We had a wonderful celebration today, but in true fruit of work of the Holy Spirit will happen after today. I'm praying for deeper relational reconciliation, forgiveness that melts all the things that the barriers and whatnot. Take that as the voice of the Holy Spirit, would you? Now, it is wonderful to end our service with communion. In spite of the fact that starting next week, all of us will scatter to other local churches, that's fine. But we continually belong to one church, universal church, one family of God, one body of Christ. That we're going to celebrate. Underneath your chair, the communion element is cake. If you don't have it, just raise your hand and our ushers walk around. Pass them on.
Pray for me that we will find a new home community
and with a full passion serve the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, not because you must, but because you may, receive the body of Christ . Pick it up and throw it to me there.
Thank you. Of the Son, of the Lord.